Good morning. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It is 9:07. Time for a big stretch. Because it is the 9 o'clock stretch. Yep, and your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Joining us now, Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson. Good morning, Commish. How are you doing today?
Doing good morning and doing great.
Hey, it's got to be a happy day. You're going to see area farmers and stuff being helped through these, you know, disasters. Seem like we've had one hurricane after another, and big money coming our way, $675 million. Tell us all about that.
No, it's a great plan, Bob, and I would say about time for our family farmers. You know, we've had four major hurricanes, I think, in the last 30 months, and we have not received the federal dollars that would normally come to those farmers in a timely fashion. So the federal government, and under President Trump and Brooke Rollins' leadership, has given us a block grant now through the Florida Department of Agriculture. And so now we have the opportunity, and of course we are setting up the infrastructure now, which will take us probably a few weeks to get these dollars to our farmers' hands. So our farmers have been waiting 2 and 3 years in some cases. We'll start getting those dollars, I would say, probably in 30 days or less. So we're very excited about that. It'll be very efficient because we're doing it through our state, our state process. And I'm very excited for farmers who have suffered substantial losses. And some of them, some of the small farmers have not been able to hang on. This certainly will, make agriculture a lot stronger here in the state of Florida.
Yeah, what if somebody did go out of business because of some of these disasters? How do you give them a relief, or can you?
Well, generally, it goes with the land, mm-hmm. Unless there was something very specific. So whoever bought their farm, whoever's now farming it, would potentially receive those resources. And those are things that we have to go through. It's a process we're going through now to identify those type of issues. And how do we get money to the people who suffered the losses? And obviously, most of it's easy because most farmers are still in business that were in business. But the ones that are, you know, that were been displaced completely or had to sell their facilities, that's something we've got to work through the detail on.
So yeah, I'm sure that you probably already have kind of a working list, if you will, of things to go through. Or is there a need for, you know, farmers to reach out to the folks to the folks in Tallahassee?
Yeah, it's both. We have lists that we have generated each time from each disaster. And so that's obviously the first place we start. But once this program's been announced, you can imagine everyone is reaching out. And we are putting together, like I said, the team of experts, basically, because we're going to be very frugal. I'm very excited for our farmers, but we're going to be very frugal with these taxpayer dollars and how we distribute them and where they go. And so there will be a process. But the difference would be is we will have a process that we will be able to go through in a period matter of days or a week versus sometimes at the federal government level, hell, it takes years.
Yeah.
And at the federal government level, we have not passed a farm bill, by the way, in 8 years. They're supposed to renew it every 5 years. And that's part of the challenge is when you don't do your job in Washington, when you don't renew the farm bill, these resources sometimes are not available. So we're going to, in a very short order, we're going to put together the process. We actually are already working on it, as you can imagine. And in a few weeks when I call back in, I should have a whole lot better information on detailed specifics about the program.
This will also benefit aquaculture?
Yeah, all of agriculture, aquaculture, forestry, row crops, strawberry industry that got hit hard there in Milton, the citrus industry that got hit so hard by several of the hurricanes, including Milton and Ian. And so this is going to be very, very broad. All that damage that Helene did, you know, and Helene seems like forever ago, but it was, I think, 2.5 years ago, 3 years at most. And so when you go back to Idalia and these other hurricanes, we've clearly got lists and we've clearly got damage assessments in real time that we're going to be going back through. And by the way, the state has already done an amazing job with the loan program that we put together after Idalia, and the first of its kind in the nation, and that was state dollars. And we put a lot of farmers back on their feet or help them get on their feet. This is going to help complement that and in a much broader way, right? We had about $75 million in the last three hurricanes to help farmers get back on their feet. And this is, of course, $675 million. So we're really excited about that.
Well, yeah, keeping Florida farming strong, I know, is very important on many different levels. Let me ask you about something you got going on this summer, Operation Safe Summer. Tell us about that.
That is a very important program, Bob. So the department, 2 years ago, we had an operation called Candy Crush, where we went in and we were removing all of the gummies and Skittles and all that were poisoning our children, right? And the legislature gave us the authority that any of these type of products that were targeting our children, we could remove off the shelves. We removed over 800,000 packages of that product. Many lawsuits, many businesses were stopped in this process. Well, then the legislature has now went to a new level and said, if you're going to have these types of products that are dangerous for kids, you got to have the child-proof safety watch, right? Like when you go to a bottle of Tylenol, don't just screw up and you got the child-proof top on it. Well, you have to have that type of process in place now for these hemp products. And some of these hemp products are very dangerous, especially for children. And so what our inspectors are doing, and we call it Operation Safe Summers, we're not only going in and making sure that they're properly labeled, that adults who want to use these products know exactly what they're getting. That's our concern, is that if I'm an adult and I want to use these products, as long as, you know, and again, in a Tylenol, if you take a 250 milligram or 500 milligram, you know exactly what you're getting. We want adults to know what they're getting when they're using these products, because a lot of them are using it for medicinal purposes. And so it should be known. And so we've rounded up over 100,000 in the first 3 weeks of summer that are just targeting our children with these types of products. And so we're very proud of that. We know we're doing good work because we can see the visits to the emergency rooms in real time. And we have probably taken that down by half in the last two years. The visits for children visiting emergency room where they had a hemp overdose. So we know we're doing good on the program. We continue to expand these, and we're going to be super aggressive when people are targeting our children with these types of products. And we are being very aggressive. So we don't mind the sometimes negative publicity, sometimes the lawsuits that come with this. Again, we're going to do whatever it takes to protect our children.
So these are products that wouldn't be categorized as like marijuana or THC based. This is where they manipulate the ingredients just enough to get by so that they can sell it to the general public. You don't need a medical card. Do I have that right?
You do not need a medical card. In the 2008, the last time they did a farm bill in this country, they put in some very broad language that made these things legal. And so when they redo the farm bill eventually, they're talking about shutting those loopholes. So what they did, they gave permission. I mean, it almost as anything goes with hemp type products and for adults. And so in some states, they have banned those products completely. In some states, they have set caps on the amount of THC or euphoric, the euphoricness of that product. So we have done a lot of work. In the state of Florida, our concern has been primarily focused on making sure that we protect our children from it, not so much adults are adults and, you know, what they do in their home. And I'm a little bit of a libertarian on this issue. I don't judge people for what they want to do in their home, but the federal government is going to have to come back in and clean that up. And they are, as they do the farm bill, some of the things they're talking about doing is limiting the amount of euphoric products within these hemp products. And if they do that, that'll make it a nationwide blanket. And then some states, of course, are going to go further. In the state of Florida, we've taken the position that if you protect our children, then adults, we're going to not overstep our federal bounds with our federal partners. That's the position they've taken so far. The legislature has looked at restricting the amount of hemp in some of these projects, especially drinks. And so they're always looking at it. But right now, our stance is we're protecting children. We've put a process in place to make sure that we can do our jobs in that area. And then the rest of it, adults can get about anything they want these days.
Well, we're trying to make America healthy again, and I wouldn't call this stuff health food. So we appreciate what you're doing in your department, Florida Ag Commissioner Welton Simpson. Thank you, sir, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yep, thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you. 30 minutes away from things that make you smile, more headlines, more information. It's all coming up on The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a happy Hump Day Trump Day on 97.3 The Sky. when a doctor's not really a doctor. 9:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally download your podcasts, including iHeart, also Spotify. And you just click on subscribe, and then you will never miss a minute of the show. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. So if you're going to present somebody on the air, on a national cable broadcast like CNN, you would think you would just maybe do a real, real quick internet search. Just real quick.
Okay.
Just to, I don't know, verify that they're actually a doctor.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. Political agenda, anyone? Well, it is CNN, so let's see where this leads us. Apparently, they had an alleged doctor on CNN who had quite the commentary to make about President Donald Trump's health. Okay, that's interesting. Now, it turns out that this person, Chris Parnell, she is not actually a practicing physician.
Oh.
Instead, works as an NAACP health equity director.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently this wasn't her first, she'd been often featured on CNN as a TV doctor. And works to drive, listen to this gobbledygook.
Okay.
Works to drive equitable health outcomes and transform healthcare systems through a comprehensive socioeconomic approach valuing the whole person.
Equitable health outcomes.
Let me say it again because it sounds really good and it's on her business card. Okay. Not drive equitable health outcomes and transform healthcare systems through a comprehensive socioeconomic approach valuing the whole person.
Wah, wah, wah,
yeah.
Wah.
Probably not valuing the fetus growing inside that person, but that's another story for another day.
Details.
Purnell, who does not appear to have practiced medicine since her residency and has spent her career working in medical diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Oh, imagine that.
Let's just call her Dr. D-E-I. What up, doctor?
I see why CNN got her.
What up, Dr. Di?
Yeah.
D-E-I. But yet, she was on CNN, maybe just out of sheer concern for President Donald Trump and his health. It could be. I mean, it could be.
But she, I doubt it.
She sounded alarm bells over Trump's recently made public condition, chronic venous insufficiency.
His ankles are swollen up.
Yeah. And yes, and everybody must put in their 2 cents worth. Now, Thursday, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt revealed that the president was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency, CVI, which she called a benign and common condition. But Purnell...
Not a real doctor.
No, but she also just happens to be, well, let's call her an apostle of a church whose leader called Trump the Antichrist.
So there could be a little bias here.
It's possible.
Saying there's a chance. Wow. Unreal.
Also, apparently, that church leader also has described white evangelical Christians as agents of Satan.
Really? Satan?
Because they're white. Okay.
Racist, anyone?
Yeah. So anyway, this Purnell, she appears on CNN to paint a bleak picture of the president's health over his diagnosis, which the Cleveland Clinic notes is more common in older adults. While Purnell has an MD from the Duke University School of Medicine and completed a residency with Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, her LinkedIn page makes no mention of her having treated patients. Purnell, who now simply serves as director of the NAACP Center for Health Equity, had also worked as chief strategic integration and health equity officer at University Hospital in Newark. I think maybe, while she was getting her education, she said, why do I have to deal with these dirty, stinky, sick people?
Yeah, they're everywhere. They keep coming at me like crazy during my residency.
When I can get a plush gig as somebody who's a director of equity. Yeah. Wow. Making sure that things are fair.
Health outcomes are equitable.
Mm-hmm.
How's that work for you?
Purnell drafted the hospital's first ever equity and inclusion strategy and hired the hospital's first director of equity and inclusion, as well as an established mandatory implicit bias and structural racism training.
Because that's what you want instead of doctors who will actually make people better.
Yeah, that's overrated.
If you just feel
healing,
yeah.
Healing is overrated.
It's about feeling, not healing.
I like it. Feeling, not healing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. In 2022, Purnell also appeared on the Karen Hunter Show, where she revealed that she has faced multiple compliance probes from hospital leadership, derived in large part from her public criticism of President Trump and Republicans. The year before, she appeared as a guest on MSNBC, where she bizarrely compared Americans skeptical of the Chinese coronavirus vaccine to white supremacists.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And how'd that work out for
you? If you're just skeptical,
yeah,
you're probably, you know, you're probably at home wearing one of them robes and hoods and you got a couple of holes in it for eyeballs.
Huh. Skepticism makes you a white supremacist.
Yep.
Huh.
Oh, and she was forced out of her hospital gig, by the way. You know why?
Why?
According to her?
What? According to her.
According to her.
Yeah.
Why? Racism, of course.
Well, of course it was.
Ah. I play a doctor on TV. Yeah. 9:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here, 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. And you are listening to 97.3 The Sky. Winning, winning, winning. Not tired of it yet. That's what we do. On a happy hump day, Trump day. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 9:36. Kennedy Center House, one step closer to becoming Melania Trump Opera House. Wow. It's got a ring to it. I actually think it might be First Lady Melania Trump Opera House. But I believe it'll be at the Kennedy Center. So I don't think they're actually changing the Kennedy Center, just the Opera House. That's what I'm gathering here. Now, why? House Appropriations Committee voted Tuesday to rename the Kennedy Center Opera House after the First Lady. This was brought on by Congressman Mike Simpson, Republican from Idaho. And it's part of the fiscal year 2026 Interior, Environment, and Related Agencies appropriation bill. In committee, the vote was 33-28 to advance it. Very interesting. First Lady Melania Trump serves as the honorary chair of the Board of Trustees at the Kennedy Center, stated Simpson, who chairs the House Interior and Environmental Appropriations Subcommittee. Naming a theater after her is an excellent way to recognize her appreciation for the arts.
That's nice.
The new designation would mark the first time a Kennedy Center theater carries the name of a Trump family member, a symbolic shift as President Donald Trump continues to purge the venue of radical ideology.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, let's expand.
That's music to our ears.
Let's expand the purge. Ooh. I got your music to your ear. I got you. Now, under Trump's leadership, the Kennedy Center has canceled drag events targeting children.
Thank you.
Eliminated its controversial social impact department. You have a whole department of social impact.
How about just provide entertainment? I know.
How dare you?
Crazy thought, I know.
They fired former President Deborah Rutter and embraced, hold your breath, Christian programming. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, not the C word.
Including a sold-out screening of Angel Studios' The King of Kings.
Wow.
Sold out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, but nobody'd want to
More people go in there than to kiddie drag shows.
Imagine that.
This is family-friendly programming that we'll be doing more of in the future.
Nice.
According to the Kennedy Center President Richard Grinnell, the American people want to see more shows that reflect their values. Huh. Democrats and progressive celebrities have responded with outrage. Broadway star and Disney actress Patti LuPone told The New Yorker the Trumpified Kennedy Center should get blown up.
Wow.
Kind of strong language,
isn't it?
These
are violent people.
Yes.
They, they call him names, and they're just downright violent.
Yes. Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda and producer Jerry Seller pulled their production from the venue, and drag queens protested the First Family's attendance at La Miserable last month. When asked by a journalist about actors boycotting Les Miserables, Les Miserables.
And who wants to be more miserable? I mean, come on.
Les Miserables, is that about close? Or is it Les? Les?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or the cool kids call it, you know, Les Mis.
Look, I
Mis.
Spent 8 weeks in French. Don't expect too much. That was many years ago.
Wow.
Trump responded to, you know, this outrage, and he said, I couldn't care less.
Oh, he's Trump.
Yeah, indeed. Oh,
yep.
Wait.
What?
There's from more? The Trump keeps winning file, I have yet more information to share.
Wow, I'm impressed.
President Donald Trump announced that his administration had completed a massive trade deal with Japan.
Ooh.
Under which Japan would pay a 15% reciprocal tariff rate and would invest $550 billion in the U.S. Now, remember, it wasn't that long ago that Trump sent letters to the leaders of South Korea and Japan informing them each they would see a 25% tariff on goods exported to the U.S. and that those tariff rates would begin August 1st. But the guy who wrote the book on the art of the deal struck a deal, which is what he wants to do with all the world leaders. Many of them have come forward. And not only are they happy with the deal they got, they're investing billions of dollars in the U.S. You must have some level of faith in the current president if you're willing to invest billions of dollars, wouldn't you think? Hmm? That's right, because they do have faith in this president. Our mainstream media would make you think that he's some kind of laughing stock around the world. Nothing could be further from the truth. So they worked it out. Yeah. Trump said, "This is a very exciting time for the United States of America, and especially for the fact that we will continue to always have a great relationship with the country of Japan. Thank you for your attention to this matter." Yep. So at first, the Japanese prime minister wasn't very happy. He said it's deeply regrettable about that 25% tariff. But here they worked it out. And not only is Japan still paying a tariff, although smaller, they're also investing over half a trillion dollars in the United States. That's going to be thousands of jobs. That's going to be more, you know, more fuel for the economic fire that is continuing to build up and get bigger and stronger.
I don't know, Bob. The Democrats said none of our, the other foreign leaders like our president. They're not going to cooperate. He's going to ruin all the relationships. And World War III is coming. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like he strengthened NATO and got all the countries to put in 5% of their GDP, which was unheard of. And people had said that will never happen. They said it. Never happen.
These things keep messing with your agenda.
It certainly does, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Socialist New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani is leading his opponents. Ooh. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who definitely is a bozo and should drop out.
Oh, yeah.
Republican Curtis Sliwa and current New York City Mayor Eric Adams. And he should drop out, too.
Yeah.
I mean, his poll numbers are terrible. He can't hardly raise any funds. And look, he's had the gig. He's had the gig. And he hasn't done very well. Now, things happened under his watch. But these are things that he was all for. The open border thing. The, you know, we're a city that we will offer you sanctuary. He said, we'll pay for education. We'll do all that. He's on record saying all of those things. And then when all hell broke loose when Biden opened the borders, then all of a sudden he saw what a mess it was becoming. And he tried to adjust, but nope, he doesn't have, I don't think he has any credibility.
He doesn't.
So they really got to give, Curtis Sliwa, the guy that was the head of the Guardian Angels and all that, why wouldn't they give him a chance? I've listened to him. He makes perfect sense.
Well, he's been there. He's lived there. He knows. He's seen the ups and downs of the city. I mean, he's got a perspective.
I don't think anybody invested more of their unpaid time on the city of New York than him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that this Mamdani, in his recent poll, is getting 39% of the support. Cuomo 21, Sliwa 18, and Adams getting 9%. Wow. That's quite a lead that Mamdani has. And you would think, with the exposure of what really has been a lot of negative press, well, maybe it's just right-of-center negative press.
Yeah.
Because, but you look at all the major players in and around New York, I don't know, out of like 12 or 14 power players, he's only got about six that have endorsed him. Unless Hakeem Jeffries has come out recently, which I do not believe he has. Mm. But apparently there's some that, they want to kiss his ring already.
I don't get that.
I don't either.
I mean, is that really what they want for their city? I mean, these are supposed to be smart people.
Well, I guess that there's enough of them that want the freebies that he's promising. You know, like city-run grocery stores would be like nonprofits.
Wow. Yeah.
Which a couple of them are succeeding nationwide, but most of them are failing miserably.
And you're going to try to do that in a city the size of New York?
No.
No.
The businesses have a tough enough time staying in business like that at the retail level because the theft is so high.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge on many different levels, but we'll continue to follow that. There was just recently another video that surfaced about him early on in his political career, and I don't have it right in front of me, but it's, another one of those. It basically, I think it was a defund type issue, something along that. Defund the police, of course. The last thing that you would want to do in a city that has had quite a bit of crime. All right. It is 9:47 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And a reminder, the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast, available on iHeart, also available on Spotify. So check that out. And just click on subscribe. There's no fee. And you'll never miss a minute of the show. Coming up next, a chance for you to call in and share some upbeat, positive thoughts. You know, things that you put in the box of check, winning.
Family, non-political.
Non-political. Family, friends, fun vacation, either just got off of or looking forward to. Upbeat, positive. Really not that hard. All right. And it's brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now with things that make you smile. 877-975-9825. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Oh, another awesome day in paradise. Welcome to it, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here on a happy hump day, Trump day. It is time now for things that make you smile. You know, stop and smell the Bob Roses and, appreciate life as it's coming to you. And share that with us, if you would. 877-975-9825. It's all brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. So let me tell you what's making me smile.
What you got there for us, Bob?
My next door neighbor, such a nice guy. Well, him and his lovely wife.
Yeah.
They invited me to dinner, knowing that, Betsy's out of town. And
what you just starved.
Probably, yeah. They knew I was scrounging around. Uh-huh. And just what a very nice evening. Great conversation. And speak of the devil, she doesn't know I'm on the air for like six more minutes.
Uh-huh. And you got your brand new phone there.
I haven't learned how to silence, apparently. But anyway, it makes me smile, and it was a great time. Let me go to John. What's making you smile?
Hello. Yeah, what would make me smile ear to ear, front to back, is if you guys had a national show. You're so much more entertaining and informative than Hannity. He's okay, but you guys would put him to shame. So if someone with any clout and intelligence is listening, give these guys a national show. Make us all smile. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, John. Checks in the mail, Uncle John. Lloyd, what's making you smile?
I have a grandbaby due any time now, and then I have a grandbaby due in August.
Grandbabies make me smile, especially my one and only so far.
Imagine that.
Yep.
Growing like a weed and all.
Yeah, he is.
It happens.
Let's go to Diane. What's making you smile?
Williston Animal Group has a dedicated staff that have been picking up animals that need to be spayed and neutered, and animals that are injured, and they have a team of dedicated volunteers and transporters, and I think it's amazing the amount of work that they do to save animals.
It's awesome, nice. Yeah. And I agree. And coming up next, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Guy probably, just trying to get home. And unfortunately, somebody called in and said, yeah, I think this guy's a little messed up. FHP, quick about it, pulls the guy over, and, field sobriety test, not so good. Did I mention he was driving a lawnmower?
Oh.
Yeah, he was driving a lawnmower along a toll road, and he probably didn't pay the toll either, so he's in a little bit of trouble. This was in Citrus County, actually in and Hernando County. Yep. 38-year-old Christopher Spain, near the exit US 98, hopefully learned his lesson. And this isn't the first lawnmower bust, by the way. Lawnmowers are out, my friends. Uber and Lyft are in. And that's your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg, I'm Bob. God bless you and your family. See ya.